Dear Father God, we thank you so much for this opportunity to just worship you freely. You are able to do what we cannot do, Lord. Hide Zaviant behind your cross, Lord. It is not going to be me speaking, but your Holy Spirit speaking through me. I want to lift up every person under the sound of my voice. Be with the youth and the young adults of this world as they try to get swayed in so many different directions. And the enemy has already been defeated, so he cannot have our youth and our young adults. And I pray that various ministries and churches continue to emphasize their importance. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. All right. So again, thank you so much for the introduction. So question, I know this is Zoom and we've all been on Zoom calls, Microsoft Teams calls ad nauseum during the pandemic, but I want y'all to be active in the comment section. Do y'all want a long sermon? Cause I mean, we can go till 10:30, or do you want a shorter sermon, or do you want just the Holy Spirit to move how he sees fit? Can you please put that in the comments below? I'm going to be looking to see to kind of how to gauge my message. All right. Let the Spirit move you. All right. Holy Spirit lead. That's all we can do. Amen. Okay. I like this chat box. And because we are not in church and you can't say hallelujah, take your time. Preach, brother. I'm going to need you to use that chat box. I probably won't be able to see it, but I'm going to still need you to use that chat box. All right. So my sermon today is entitled No New Friends. And when I was asked a couple months ago or last month to do the message for today, I was like, okay, bet. You know, I already have this message. And it was called Shoot Your Shot. I was like, man, shoot your shot. You know what I mean? And then the Holy Spirit was just like, nah. Okay, I was like, okay, cool. So my next message, it was like, God is not on vacation, because God is not on vacation. We're in a pandemic and times are hard for certain people, for a lot of people in various capacities. And it's important to know that our God is not on vacation. And then some more time passed, and you know, voting came along, and you know, people have different voting views, and people have different views on almost everything, especially if you look on social media. And I was thinking, like, man, it is so important for me as a young, I'm not even a young adult anymore, as a grown adult, right? It's important for me as an adult to be around individuals who I call my friends, who are pushing me towards Jesus Christ, not taking me away from Jesus Christ, as far as their belief processes and just everything that is encompassing in a friend. So I was like, okay, bet, we're going to talk about friendships and the importance of friendships. And I think that's one of the most important things we can tell our young people, besides having a real, true, honest, authentic relationship with Jesus Christ, but your friends, the people who you're around. So my sermon title today, my word for today is called No New Friends. I wanted to speak about and kind of highlight the importance of friendships in the Christian walk, but because I feel like it doesn't get emphasized a lot. We talk about haters, we talk about love, we talk about this, that, and the third, but I believe that our young people need to know about friends, having godly friends, friends that lead them closer to the Lord. All right, so Webster's Dictionary defines a friend. Okay, I didn't use Webster's, I used Google, like all of us. Defines friend as a person who knows and with whom one has a bond of mutual affection, typically exclusive of sexual or family relations. So I got my sermon title from a guy. He's from Canada. He was on the show Degrassi. You know, I don't know if y'all know him. He's an urban culture philosopher. He's an actor. He's a poet. And they call him Aubrey Drake Graham. And he has this old song called No New Friends. And that was pretty much, that's what the Holy Spirit gave me to name this message. So the body of Christ and even the world, so the church and the people outside the church, everybody knows the importance of having a friend and pretty much doing life with friends. So since we're talking about friends, I know we have various age groups on Facebook and on the Zoom call right now. I kind of want to refresh your memory. My friends call me the human jukebox. I may not know the words to every song, but I know a lot of songs. So we're going to refresh your memory. All right, so for our younger people, the number one rapper in the world is called, is his name is Lil Baby, and he has a song called Close Friends. If you listen to secular radio, then you've probably heard it a time or two. Lil Baby has a song called Close Friends. If you are a little bit older than me, you know about the group Houdini, and they have a song called Friends. How many of us have them? If you're, you know, still older than me, you know, there's a song called by Biz Markie and later redone by Mario, You Say She's Just a Friend. TLC had a song, What About Your Friends? Dionne Warwick had a song back in the day, That's What Friends Are For. Patti LaBelle, You Are My Friend. Aretha Franklin, Auntie Riri. What? She had a song called You Got a Friend. We're gonna take it to church. The Mississippi Mass Choir, Mary Mary, created a song, What a Friend We Have in Jesus. Tremaine Hawkins, he's just that kind of friend. My favorite gospel artist of all time, Fred Hammond, has a song, You Called Me Friend. And last but not least, I mean, we've sung this song into the ground for at least 20 years, but I still love it. I Am a Friend of God by Israel Houghton. So these are just a few. I probably named 12 songs. These are only a few upon the thousands of songs out there in the music industry where people either rap or sing about everything from vulgar topics to love. I mean, we hear it on the radio, but it's one thing that is apparent is we were divinely created for friendship. It is a common human need, young people, all right? So in the ministry of Jesus, I mean, he's our Father, our Savior, and our Redeemer, but he's also our friend. And that's one of the things that I absolutely love about Jesus. He is our friend. Like, he wants to be friends with the people who were prostitutes and the people who were liars and cheaters and scammers. He still wants to be friends with those type of people. And the beautiful thing about Jesus is he connected with orphans, strangers, the outcasts, people who were loved, revered, respected, and those who were tossed to the side and just did disregard it. So if you're taking notes, you know, you can put it in the chat, you can put it on Twitter. I'm back on Twitter. You can put it on Facebook. I want you all to take notes. But I want you all to know that when we are talking about the idea of friendship, there are people who will consider themselves to be your friends, but they're not really your friends. But let's get back to the Bible. The Bible isn't just a book with like really cool lessons and stories. No, it's actually a guide that assists us in having the character of Jesus Christ, a guide that helps us to be obedient. I always like to think of the Bible as the Bible and what God is teaching us as guardrails, right? So a lot of times when I was young, I was like, man, I can't do this and I can't do that. But getting older, I realized, oh, okay, so the Bible and God's word and what he said was just laws. Because like, let's say you're driving on a cliff, the guardrails are there so you don't go over. So God's word are guardrails so we don't go over. I can be honest and say I've gone over sometimes, and I'm sure a lot of you all have gone over too, but we need to know what his word is true. So I don't want you to ever get in your mind, young people, that the word of God isn't true, that the Bible was written by, and it's not relevant. That's a big lie, all right? So no new friends. Let's go to the word of God and start at the beginning. So what if I told you that one of the first problems in the world was not sin necessarily, but solitude? Hear me out. So our very first example, that friendship is essential, is an essential need that we need as humans. Let's go to Genesis 2:18. So if you have your Bible app, if you have your Bible actually in front of you, let's go to Genesis 2:18. All right. So the word of God says, it is not good for the man to be alone. I will make a helper who is right for him. In the Garden of Eden, God made Adam, right? We can agree that God made Adam. But let's just be real. That brother was lonely, man. He was naming the animals, and he was tending to the land, and he was walking side by side with God, the creator, right? But God knew that the brother was eventually going to get lonely. And arguably, solitude was one of the main factors that led to separation from God. The enemy isolated Eve, and we know what happens from there. we all have things in our hearts and we and in human nature since the beginning of time, including sin and idolatry. But social isolation was one of the first problems that arose. I like to believe that I was having a conversation with my aunt this week, and I like to believe that if the enemy came to Adam and Eve at the same time and tried to tempt them both, I like to believe that, you know, my big brother Adam would be like, nah, man, Eve, and let's take a walk over here, baby. We're not gonna listen to this serpent, right? I like to believe that. But so I think that was one of the first problems that arose when Eve was isolated. So brothers and sisters, please don't isolate yourself. I always encourage my friends who take breaks or stop going to church and I'm gonna just keep it 100, young people. The young adults and the older adults and the people, some people are struggling right now because there are people who go to church every Sabbath or every Sunday or what have you. They go to church every week and they were just barely holding on to Jesus Christ, and they were active in church and active in ministry. And those of us who, and then others who haven't been able to go to church and weren't as strong as their faith, I'm always praying for those people. So I think that when you are isolating yourself, you guys, and isolating yourself from the fellowship of the body of Christ, it can be damaging to your spiritual walk, because no man or woman is an island by themselves. And let's just be real. The enemy loves when we are sinking in our thoughts. We're by ourselves. We feel sin. We have sin. We feel shame. We're disappointed in ourselves, right? Because the enemy, he doesn't know any new tricks. And so after Adam and Eve sinned, there was extreme isolation from God. So if you still have your Bibles open, we're going to go into Proverbs. So if you have any doubts or questions, the book of Proverbs is an incredibly practical tool on how to know new friends and forge new relationships. So Proverbs 18:24 says, a man who has friends must himself be friendly, but there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. And it's such a simple verse, but honestly, it seems so hard for so many people to do. So I'm from the United States of Miami, the greatest place on earth. And just growing up, I remember in middle school and high school and even some people in college. And it's funny, you know, years later, I'm still talking to young people that live in Miami. And they always say, yo, I'm not friendly. And I just think that statement is just so crazy. And it's foolish. And it's foolish because you have to be friendly to at least one person, to have a friend or an acquaintance, right? If you're not friendly, then how do you have friends? It literally makes no sense. But, you know, silly children and silly young adults have that thinking. But I love that verse in Proverbs so much, and it resonates with me so much because I don't think I've ever met a stranger. My aunt, she's on here. She was just like, she always tells me, you know, I like people, but, you know, you're me on another level. And, you know, my uncle and my mom and my dad, you know, everybody are in my, just every, my grandfather are just great talkers, and they're able to meet and connect and just talk to people and meet friends and be friendly. So last summer, well, a couple summers ago now, I had the chance to travel in Europe. I did like a little European excursion, right? And I was with one of my really good friends, and we were lost sometimes. I'm not even gonna lie. But I literally walked up to certain people and I just spoke the little bit of French that I knew or English in London. And I just walked to the people and I just started having a conversation, and I was able to decipher some words, but it came very natural to me because, first, one, I didn't want to be lost. I had some place to go. And two, I just kind of wanted to meet them and talk to them and just see where I should go. Where should I explore? But everybody won't do that. And I know everybody's not me. So the caveat is, I already know what you're thinking. Some of you all are sitting there like, yo, Zav, I know you're an extrovert. I know you talk to a lot of people. You may have a lot of friends, but yo, bro, like, I don't have a lot of friends. Or, you know, I'm incredibly shy. Or I have social anxiety. Or maybe you're an extreme introvert. Or just naturally quiet. But I want you to think about this. I want you to think about how those individuals who may be on the other end of the spectrum, how can you demonstrate Proverbs 18:24, young people? So if you're not the type of person that walks up to someone and speak like maybe I am, you can still be in the will of God because what you can't muster up, he can. Some ways you can demonstrate that is just by being a great listener. People like me, I like to talk, but I also know how important it is to maybe be able to listen. So be a great listener, because people love hearing themselves talk, holding people accountable, forgiving someone, being there for someone when they need it, maybe sharing your resources. Like, hey, you know, I know you're looking for a job, or, you know, I know your young person is going to college very soon. Here are some scholarships that you can give them. And I'm sure you can think of so many other ways, but those are some examples that you can demonstrate Proverbs 18:24. But let's go back to the verse in Proverbs. I love the latter part of that verse, because it gives us a reminder of a friend that sticks closer than a brother. And in John 15, verses 12 through 17, I'm just going to paraphrase it. The gist of those words, the gist of those verses is that there is no greater command than to lay down your life for a friend. It pretty much just do what God commands, young people. I mean, obedience is better than sacrifice. We have to be obedient. Why is it so hard for us, me included? Why is it so hard for us to just follow the commands of God? So also in those verses, Jesus pretty much tells us to level up. We got to level up. So in your friendship groups, I know people have best friends and, you know, close friends, and you got your friends, right? And some people are just your associates, and some people are just your acquaintances. But Jesus is literally telling us in verse 15 that he is no longer calling us servants, because guess what? A servant doesn't know what the master is doing, right? The servant is, hey, the master may be handling the business, you know, doing it without them. But because we were moved from servants to friends, that's why Jesus calls us a friend. And that's truly better than us going from, you know, being a friend to a bae, you know, for my people in relationships. Jesus calling you a friend, young people, that's way better than, you know, getting a middle school crush or having a high school girlfriend or boyfriend. Those things are important. I'm not going to say that it's not important or whatnot, but having that relationship with Jesus Christ is one of the most important things for us to do. And him calling us a friend is an honor. It should be an honor and a privilege. So Jesus is saying that I call you a friend and not a servant anymore, because every single thing that he has heard from God, the creator of the universe, he is making it known to us. Think about that. I mean, that's what I call love. Always remember that friendship is the ultimate goal of the gospel. When you meet someone on the street and they're not a believer, sometimes, you know, the Holy Spirit will work in different ways and he will do what he needs to do, right? But sometimes when people who are out in the world and who don't know and have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ for themselves, building that rapport, being a friend, invite them over to get something to eat or sitting with you at work. And then that your inside, your light from God shining on the inside out, they're gonna be like, okay, it's something different about this person. It's something different about this person. Like, I wanna get to know. And that is a great way to kind of share the gospel with other people. All right, so remember about 10 years ago, give or take, there were shirts that were sold everywhere. I know they sold them in Journeys. And it said, Jesus is my homeboy. Of course, it had white Jesus on it, Caesar Bergario, whatever his name is. But besides that image that they used for Jesus, that messaging is so real. We essentially, young people, should want Jesus to be our homeboy, to be our friend, our father, and know him as our savior. I think we should find solace and comfort in the verse. We know that he loves us because what he did on the cross and Calvary for us, because of what he did on the cross and Calvary for us. But ask yourself this question. Do you love him? Is God your friend? Are we living and doing what he has commanded us to do? Or are we just living life for us? Of course, I'm talking to myself as I'm talking to you, but I want you to think about that question. So let's look at another example in the Word of God. You have your Bible app, or if you're going to write it down for later, I'll definitely do that at this time. The Bible has so many examples for us on how to be more like Jesus and live by his examples. So I was just reflecting on the entire book of Acts. When they created the church, that was friendship and community just personified. What one didn't have, the other person had. They shared, they were not able to be in lack. or even need of anything. And my brothers and sisters that are listening to me on this call tonight, this morning, whenever you may be listening to this message, that is what God is requiring us to do. That is the type of friendship that needs to be and love that needs to be a part of our church community, even while we're virtual. And when the church community is strong, when the body of Christ is strong, then you can reach the lost. Then you can do the Great Commission and do mighty things for the kingdom of God. Last year sometime, I attended a church service, and the speaker they brought in, you know, was from Michigan. And she said something so profound, and I would just remember just meditating on that all week. And she said, we have to get to the point where in our church community, where we are, when we are there, we have to get to the point when in our church community, where we are, in the ways that our brothers and sisters need, including spiritually. So what that means is, sometimes God, he got to get through me to get through you. So what I mean by that is, you know, there are sometimes life bottles us down. I'm back in the office for my job. And yesterday we had like a 5-hour meeting. And needless to say, at the end of the meeting, I was exhausted. And I knew I had to deliver this word today. So I just hit up some friends to just intercede for me. I was just like, yo, man. Can you pray me through? I'm feeling tired. I'm feeling like, I don't know if I can do this, but we have to get to the point where in our church community, if somebody is going through, it's like, yo, you got to tell the enemy, young people, like, yo, you got to get through me to get through to my sister. And we have to pray, and we have to be in that word. And that's why, again, I want to emphasize, it's important to have a real, honest, true, authentic relationship with Jesus Christ. I don't care if you're 5 years old, or 15 years old, or 25 years old. Those things are very, very important. If you're feeling beat up, if you're feeling rejected, guess what? You need to have friends that'll be like, hey, yo, Zav, hey, yo, Nush, hey, yo, Zavandra, hey, yo, you know, hey, mom, I'm going to fast and pray for you, because guess what? The enemy is not going to have his way with you, right? And that is what that's why community is so important. That's why having godly friendships is so important. That's why having people that can pray for you on the drop of a dime, and you know that they are prayer warriors. That is why that is so important. So this is where the power comes from. When we are changed, we can achieve, when we are changed and transformed from the inside out and able to put our lives on hold and fast and pray and do things that aren't comfortable. That's what real friendship is. And that's why it's so important. So sweating, woo. All right, I'm back, okay. So another example that comes to mind is Job, the book of Job. There are some people, they're like, oh man, I love this book. There are other people like, oh man, this story of Job is so unfair. Good old Uncle Job. But if you're not familiar with the story of Job, this book in the Bible is so powerful, so impactful, because it's all about trusting God in spite of devastating tragedy. How many of us can be honest and say that life can be very hard? I know I will be the first one to raise up my hand. And if you've ever had an experience in your life when you were at your lowest, and the end seemed like it was so far away, the end of this trial just seemed so far away, like you'll never get to it, I think we can all admit to being there. And I think Uncle Job's life low-key took the cake. Like, he lost everything, right? But I want us to focus less on Job and more on his friends. Let's flip our Bibles, if you have it open, or your phone on the Bible app, to Job 2, chapter 2, verses 11 to 13. I'm going to give you all about 13 seconds to get there. Job chapter 2, verses 11 through 13. Job chapter 2, verses 11 and 13. We're going to pull it up, because I want us to read it and hear it. And I'm going to be reading the NLT version. Job chapter 2, verses 11 through 13. Now, let's do the King James Version. Now, when Job's three friends heard of all this evil that was come upon him, They came, everyone, from his own place. Eliphaz the Temanite, and Bildad the Shuhite, and Zophar the Namorothite. For they had made an appointment together to come to mourn with him and to comfort him. And when they lifted up their eyes afar off and knew him not, they lifted up their voice and wept. And they rent every one his mantle and sprinkled dust upon their heads toward heaven. So they sat down with him upon the ground 7 days and 7 nights, and none spoke a word unto him. For they saw that his grief was very great. Powerful. Just, I don't know if you guys caught that, but Job was mourning because he truly was going through it, man. That man, that brother, he was going through it. And his character was attacked. He lost his property, meaning his animals, the oxen, the camels, the donkeys, etc. He lost his children. His health was compromised. He had painful boils. I'm sure they look pretty gross. From the top of his head to the bottom of his feet. And on top of that, all that he did have, he also had other friends that told him, hey, bro, man, turn your back on God, man. You know, even his own wife wanted him to curse God and die because he was going through a lot. Word to the wise, young people. And those are the people who we should always stay away from. I don't care if it is the closest person to you. If they are saying, hey, don't have a relationship with God or don't follow God. Those are people that you should definitely be separating yourself from, even if it's hard. So back to that Dionne Warwick song, That's a Friend, That's What Friends Are For. One of the most popular lines is, you know, in good times and bad times, I'll be on your side forevermore. That is what friends are for. And Job's three buddies modeled just that. So back then, it was customary to mourn for 7 days. And Job was going through it. He was mourning, he was grieving, so much so that his friends didn't even recognize him. But the powerful message in those verses was they cried with him. They sprinkled dust on their heads. They tore their robes up, their clothes up, all while being with their friend Job in his time of need. And I honestly think this is the perfect example of friends being there for you in a time of need. And not just saying anything. Sometimes our friends, you know, they lost their job, they lost a loved one. You don't got to say anything, just be there for them. And I'm sure his ordeal would have been a lot more difficult to even go through if those brothers weren't there for him. Are you still with me? If you're still with me, if you're in the chat, I want you to put amen, hallelujah, God is good. If you're still with me, let me see you in the chat. Make sure you guys are still with me. Young people, you still with me? All right, good, good, good. All right. So go with me to Romans 5:10. Romans 5:10 says, for since our friendship with God was restored by the death of his son, while we were still his enemies, we will certainly be saved through the life of his son. In these two verses, it truly shows us two things. First is the verse from Romans. The cross was the most heroic act of friendship. Think about it. Before Jesus died, life for humanity was pretty hopeless. But the blood, I mean, somebody should have shouted, and I mean, I know y'all on mute, but you should have shouted, before Jesus died on the cross, what do we have to look forward to, right? People knew that he was coming, but when he did it, man, people had faith that, oh, a Messiah is coming, right? But when he did it, now our lives are not hopeless. Now me, you, I, young people, people who aren't even born yet, have the chance to have eternal life. There is such a fear with creating bonds with human beings, but Jesus modeled that because he died for those people who knew him, who loved him, and for the people that he knew would betray him, and those who are sinful, which is all of us, because we were all his enemies before we were his friends. Last but not least, there's a very popular story, Ruth and Naomi. And I think this is honestly an exceptional example of friendship, yet godly friendship. All right. So a lot of us know that story is Ruth chapter 1, verses 8 through 15. We're going to pull that up. Ruth chapter 1, verses 8 through 15. All right. And let's do the New King James Version. Ruth chapter 1, verse 8 through 15. And Naomi said to her two daughters-in-law, go return each to her mother's house. The Lord deal kindly with you, as you have dealt with the dead and with me. The Lord grant that you may find rest each in the house of her husband. So she kissed them, and they lifted up their voices and wept. And they said to her, surely we will return with you to your people. But Naomi said, turn back, my daughters. Why will you go with me? Are there still sons in my womb that they may be your husbands? Turn back, my daughters. Go for it. I am too old to have a husband. If I should say I have hope, if I should have a husband tonight and should also bear sons, would you wait for them to be grown? Would you restrain yourselves from having husbands? No, my daughters, for it grieves me very much for your sakes that the hand of the Lord has gone out against me. Then they lifted up their voices and wept again. And Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clung to her. And she said, look, your sister-in-law has gone back to her people and to her gods. Return after your sister-in-law. So if we were to continue to read that story, we would find that Naomi and Ruth, they had an incredible friendship, a true example of friendship, sharing her resources, technically staying with someone that you, I mean, she wasn't related to Naomi, right? Not by blood, but she stuck with her when she had nothing. And that's definitely an example of walking alongside someone with not wanting anything in return or with no heirs. Naomi couldn't provide anything for Ruth, but guess what? Ruth went back to her land and she was just loyal. And remember, her sister left, right? And Ruth took that leap and ended up serving Naomi's God. And of course, we all know the story that she found her Boaz. So how should we as believers apply the theme of friendship, young people? Because let's face it, there are some real, honest, true barriers that stop us from having intentional Christian friendship. Number one, fear. Fear says it's going to be too hard. What if they judge me? What if they don't like me? My past experiences have crippled me. Are they going to be loyal to me? I've been hurt so many times before. Pride and ego. Y'all, your ego is not your amigo. It's not. It never will be. And so pride gets in that way as a barrier. And it says if a relationship gets broken, sometimes we aren't willing to say sorry. We aren't willing to be called out. We will much forget about it. That's very common in today's culture, especially with my age demographic. It's like, hey, cool, you wronged me. Bet I'm done with you. I don't have to talk to you anymore. If I see you, I'm not speaking to you. Deuces, peace. You don't even exist to me. And last but not least, the last barrier that kind of stops us from having intentional Christian friendship is falling into sin. If no one is there to check you or hold you accountable, then that can be problematic. Christian friendship is so different, or it should be so different from the world, because fellowship is a spiritual mandate. It's a spiritual discipline. It's not something just cool to say, but it's actually a mandate from God. Christian friendship demands more from us. And now I'm going to talk about the benefits of intentionally investing in Christian friendship, young people. Number one, write this down. Put this in the chat for me. Number one, growing in Christ. That's a huge benefit. Scripture says it. Iron sharpens iron, Proverbs 27:1. Two, it's an evangelistic tool. So it shows your light, showing your example that another expression of it can see. So you're showing God is shining through you, right? His Holy Spirit is working through you, and others are going to be able to see that. And then three, the benefits of intentionally investing and having Christian friends, young people, is that it destroys that ego. It destroys that pride. We live in a society where it's all about self, and people wouldn't help out a friend sometimes even if they did. But again, that's not real, pure and genuine friendship. Pure and genuine friendship and happiness, a tongue twister, it combats jealousy. And when you see that someone is going through something, you're not focused on yourself. You're focused on like, yo, man, let me help this. Let me put this person above me. This upcoming week, I want you to think about a personal barrier that you can work through this week and a personal benefit that you've already received that you can give to others this week. We serve a God that has sacrificed himself to save others. Who wouldn't want that type of friend? Miranda Curtis has a song Nobody Like the Lord. And my favorite line is the end, the reprise. And she says, who wouldn't serve a God like that? It's one of my favorite lines in that song. And I think about over my life. And if you're honest, you can think about over your life and what God has brought you from and what God has brought you to and how God has transformed you and how God has changed you. And who would not want to serve a God like that? But unfortunately, in this current culture that we live in, we cut people off so easy. No new friends, cut them off. and it's so easy to do so and to dismiss our families and our families and our friends with no regard and absolutely no reconciliation of relationships. And unfortunately, some people are proud with that. Young people, your ego is not your amigo. Do not be proud about cutting people off. Yes, if they are individuals who are toxic and leading you further away from Jesus, yes, but have a conversation. Be like, hey, yo, be honest, be real. And just tell them like, yo, we can't do this. I want you to think about that person that God has placed on your heart during this message. Maybe somebody you need to reconcile with. Maybe it's a family member. Maybe it's a friend. Maybe you wrote them off, but just say a prayer for them right now in this moment. Say a prayer for them. And the caveat is that I'm also not talking about abusive people, people that have abused you. No, we're not talking about that. We are talking about people that the Holy Spirit has placed in your heart. Like, hey, man, I need to reach out to this person. Or we had a minor misunderstanding and it's not worth it. You know, if that person dies and I'm not able to reconcile it, I would feel really, really bad. So as we go through our day-to-day, we have to be mindful. We have to be mindful and remember that the ultimate example of friendship is how it is extended to us. Discipleship is what we are called to do in this Great Commission. Start build that rapport with people. Have a true, honest, real relationship with Jesus. And if you hear God speaking to you and you want to start Bible studies or you want to get connected, then you know, reach out to me or reach out to anyone on this line. And if you want God to truly come into your heart and not just be friends when you see them at work or when you see them at church or on Zoom church, but on that daily basis, I'm going to ask that you just raise your hand wherever you are so we can pray. Dear God, we thank you so much for the opportunity to just be able to call you a friend. Or while we were yet in our sins, you saved us and you came for us, Father God. And we're just so thankful for that opportunity to call you a friend, Lord. There are people under the sound of my voice that need to reconcile with people. There are people under the sound of my voice that haven't talked to people in years or they cut them off, Lord God. Whether it's family members or friends or whomever it may be, Lord, help us to be more like Christ in that area. Help me to be more like Christ. Help the young people under the sound of my voice be able to decipher and discern and use wisdom and have a triple portion of your Holy Spirit so that the right people will want to be around them. And they are the right people to others as well, Lord God. We see so many examples in the Bible of friendship and why it's important, Lord. Help us not to isolate ourselves. Help us not to be discouraged when things don't work out. Help us to just be more like you and let your light shine from the inside out in all that we do, Lord God. We want to just repent for our sins and the wrongs that we've done and the times where we've been a bad friend to you and to others, Lord God. But we know that we want to be ready. We want our hearts to be ready for when you come back to save us, Lord God. Thank you so much for the Sabbath day that you've given us. Thank you for the opportunity to worship you, Lord. Thank you for allowing me to hide behind your cross so that your word can get through to your people. I want to lift up Berean Church, Lord God. Be with them and in their ministry and what they plan on doing for their youth and their young adults for years to come. We ask all these things in your son Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, God.